Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Health Options Show for February 2nd, 2014, with Richard Olson and
Sherry Edwards. Why do you
Good morning.
Use my own name? I think it'd be much more powerful with your voice. People love your voice, Richard.
I thank you.
I never know what to say to that.
But you're not going to add anything else to it. We probably should tell people. When people complain that we never introduce ourselves, you know, here we are, but who are we? So I'm the director of the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, a research center in Southern Ohio, where we put a microphone in front of somebody and look at their vocal prints and see what's in that vocal print that might be useful to them or to us. And Richard is a chef, a master herbalist, an environmentalist, a rabble rouser. We decided provocateur was a good title for
you. I'll go with provocateur as a handle, absolutely. I'm happy to be a provocateur. I enjoy that.
And a radio producer for any of those who want to be producing your own show. Are you available? Are you all tied up, Richard?
I'm available with limited engagements at this point, I would say. And I run teleseminars, teleclasses, tele-anything. I can do video, but really vocal is what I'm all about. That's how you and I connected because, you know, it's about the voice to me. And using the voice, the power of the voice. The voice is a really powerful thing, as you well know.
Yes, and I think people are listening to our shows. Last week on Wednesday when we did Revolution Radio, and that went over very well, by way of what we talked about, but it was a little spooky by way of nothing mechanical worked very well. But I saw Meet the Press this morning, and they were talking about the declining Obama presidency. And I've heard several things, even a repeat of what we said on Fox, that Obama lost his mojo. So I think somebody's listening to us over there as we rabble rouse. There is a swishing, swishing noise in here, like rain or wind or something. Somebody's got their mic on, so I am going to go in and see if I can shut some people down.
I have rain in the background, but I don't think it's that big. I'm happy to say from being in California that we're actually getting some rain, but it's not big, heavy rain. It's just gentle rain.
Well, that is great. Finally, I am...
Finally.
I've muted everybody, but it's still not... I mean, it's still there. But if it's rain for California, awesome. I'll put up with that.
Yes, gladly. Thank you. Yeah.
On this show, we really, well, often bring you really serious things, but we hope that you learn from them and get ideas from how to lead a more authentic life, there the rain went, and how to live a happier life. We're going to do something fun today. We are bringing in a casino dealer, and she's going to tell us how to win 90% of the time. Well, that's only one little part of her book, but that's just a teaser to get that done. I need to say this is a show for educational purposes. Nothing we ever do on this show has been looked at from any kind of legal perspective. We're coming to you from the studios of the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, and this is a simultaneous broadcast. We are broadcasting from WebEx, which you can watch the show. And right now, you're seeing our guest up here, Connie Allen, and a little bit about the show, a link to the show by telephone and a link to the show by WebEx. We do have one issue here. On Blog Talk Radio, we get credit and get all kinds of extra goodies if so many people show up. So 347-850-1407. I think people are very used to watching the show because we do so much with people and go to their books and go to
Your
Amazon.
Your mic is off.
My mic is off, Judy?
Well, they're not hearing you at WebEx. I can hear you fine at Blog Talk Radio, but I don't think they're hearing you at WebEx because I just heard Judy in my WebEx feed.
No, I am not muted at all. Let me go check my audio. Oh, it is muted. My mic was muted, thank you, and I didn't mute it, so I don't know who did that when I shut it down. Well, people are saying the mic is going on and off. That's kind of crazy. Well, what I was saying was we're doing... Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's from. Anyway, we ask that you keep your mics off. If you don't know how to use WebEx, there's a little green tab at the top or bottom of your monitor. Click on that little green tab, and it'll give you participants and chat. So we're going to kind of start over for a little bit of people. This is Richard and Sherry, and we've got a special guest. Her name is Connie Allen, and she is a casino dealer and was for many, many years. She's written a book, and for those of you with us on WebEx, you're seeing her picture and a description of the class that we're going to be doing. She's going to tell us, there's one little part of the book that she sent us that tells you how to win 90% of the time. So I would love to hear about that. I'm not a gambler. We just don't have any casinos around here. But I think this is going to be a fun show instead of a very serious show that we usually do. We do have a keynote this week. We forgot to read it last week. And as most of you know, the keynote is about the frequencies coming to the earth. Wonder if there's a frequency that would allow you to win more at gambling. Wonder if there's been any statistics. Let's ask Connie, is there a certain time of the month or a certain time of the year that more people win? Well, ask that. That's a really good question. Richard, can you remember that? I know you have a hoarse throat and don't want to talk much. But could you remember that question for me?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, there's something called the keynote, and that's where we look at the frequencies of the Earth, and that's monitored by NASA and a lot of other organizations that are planning on going to the moon. And so we put up a little blip for you about those frequencies and what they represent. If you're looking at bioacoustics and the frequencies of your voice, we can see that the frequencies for the throat is also the frequency for a thyroid medication. I mean, the body is so incredibly redundant. So bioacoustically speaking, almost everything is something else. So we put up little optical illusions for you because it looks like this is a white triangle. But that white triangle was not drawn there, is not there. It's there by the placement of other objects in the picture. So we just think that sometimes your health can be obscured by overlapping information. And that's what happens with bioacoustics. We put that mic in front of you, and the math that comes out of the frequencies of your voice, I'm thinking of this in terms of, if we could go out and test people who win, what's in their voice? That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking all along as the seasons go on, and we talked a lot about energy, outside energy last week. I want to talk about insight, awakening your energy this week. The note that is in, not stress. What's the opposite of stress? It's active. The note that's active just passed through melatonin, the go-to-sleep chemical, so you may have had problems with that. And it's coming up on something called cyclic AMP, which stands for adenosine monophosphate. It's active for the next few days, and it is assistant in intercellular communication. It has to do with ATP. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, that was the beginning chemical of all creation. Phenylalanine, an amino acid, is now active, and it deals with tyrosine for the thyroid, dopamine, norepinephrine, the things that give you energy from a muscle perspective. The biggest one open right now is SAMe, which is adenosylmethionine. I can't pronounce these big words. Just S-A-M-E will do it. And that's also made from ATP. It's associated with cellular energy. So a lot about cellular energy, and you're just feeling kind of weak and puny and down and not having any energy. Protein and stress is arachidonic 5 activating factor that has to do with inflammation. Here we go, Richard, that attacks your respiratory and allergic system. Also cardiovascular. So that's probably what you and I both are experiencing at the same time. You know, it's probably these keynotes that cause us to be feeling good or bad all at the same time, because we're both sensitive, and we often have the same kind of crud going on. Muscles in stress, bicep, elbow, might not be a good time for golf or bowling unless you stretch those muscles first. Medication in stress, warfarin, which is a blood thinner, so watch for overdose. So not much going on except little teeny bits from cellular communication. We hope all of you join us each week. Even just look at the keynote running to our soundhealthoptions.com and looking at that. So that's what you guys are looking at when you are looking at our Blog Talk Radio announcement about our guest. We talked a little bit before the show about Revolution Radio, and that was last Wednesday. We got information back saying riveting, and Richard and I were talking before the show about how other TV shows are picking up what we said. So somebody might be watching. Chris, you're putting out your camera for everybody. Do you care? He's talking to us, but we can't hear him. But we do see his nice, what was that, burgundy sleep eye thing? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to shut that down. You guys can watch it if you want. It distracts me because I want to get to our guest. We have some questions from the audience already. Sounds like the keynote might affect the Super Bowl. Watch the players' throws. Never thought of that. Colleen said that in our chat. We have chats going on in Blog Talk Radio and also in WebEx. But elbow, that has to be very important for those people throwing footballs. And I don't know how to get in touch with them. If any of you do, warn them they've got to stretch out those elbows. I should have put that together last night. I am very sorry I did not. Our guest, Connie, has a website, and it's the name of her book, A Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes. And she's been a blackjack dealer, I think it said, for 16 years. Boy, that's a lot of years. She's a former employee, and she wants of a casino, and she wants to help us keep our money longer. And I'm thinking the casinos really don't like this. So we're going to ask her some questions. And, Richard, I thought of the first one, and I gave it to you, that those of you who are with us on WebEx are looking at the website for her book, and she says she wants to help us keep our money longer. Now, it would look like the casinos would just want to, from what you see on TV, they'd want to out her or get rid of her. So we'll ask her that question, too. Richard, you had the first question we were going to ask.
I did. Good morning, Connie. Welcome.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure being here.
Let's open with that question about the, are there certain times of year when there are more winnings? Or is it sort of straight across? From the casino perspective, it's just sort of straight across all the time.
Right, 24/7. It really has a lot to do with your intelligence of how to play the game and also somewhat of luck between the two.
Because there is actually a degree of luck, though, still.
Oh, sure. There's luck. And if I could reiterate something that was just said before, when I said 90% of the time, that was in my, and that's in my book, that is on a statistic that I did over the course of 3 to 4 years. And I advise people to take advantage of that only if they're winning. So in the book, it states that this particular statistic, if you people watch on it, for the first 3 hands out of the shoe of a dealer shuffling the cards, comes true about at least over 90% of the time. But there's always that 1% chance that it might not work. So I always tell people, when you do this, make sure you do it if you're winning, because people lose their money fast enough at a casino that they don't need to do this if they're losing. So that was the only thing I had said about over 90% of the time that they would probably win with this statistic. As far as keeping their money longer, what I meant by that was so many people are not playing correctly. And if they learn the correct way of playing a lot of the games, one, they would keep their money a lot longer in order and hope to double or triple their money. So I just wanted to share that comment with you.
That's on page 57 of her book.
Right.
And I just used that as a teaser to but listen, this is a small book, but boy, it is ever chock full of information. Where did you deal, and what kind of training do you have to have for this?
When the casinos in Indiana, I live in Ohio, and in Indiana, the casinos opened up back in 1996, and there was free training going on. So we had 8 weeks of 5 days a week of four hours a day for being trained. So we then had to take a test to see if we were going to pass. So after 16 years of being in the black as a blackjack dealer, I feel like I'm a very professional dealer and learned a lot over the course of the years.
Are you a gambler yourself?
I am. Not to the point that it would financially wipe me out, but I do. I love slots, and I also like blackjack and a lot of the games that I have got in my book that I like to play. But I don't go down that often. It's a nice drive away from me, so I don't go down as often, which maybe in a way is a good thing. But it's a little
and
bit
you're doing
further
it
away.
Mostly as a kind of more as a entertainment. It sounds like that's what I'm hearing. It seems like you're doing it more as an entertainment. It's something you actually enjoy versus going there thinking that you're going to, excuse me, beat the casino.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's supposed to be used as entertainment. There are too many that use it for another income. And there are some that do this as a living, do gambling, playing blackjack and that for a living. I think myself, I would be totally stressed out by doing that. But the thing that caused me to write the book was because over the course of the years, and in the beginning, back in 96 and up to 2000, I was so into the blackjack dealing and the fun of the dealing to the players and all of that, that I really never took note of how people were playing and some of the stuff that they didn't know that surely could have helped them if they did know. As I got closer to 2012, I started writing the book in 2003, but when I finally retired, I had decided that to bring it now, bring it current, and then publish it because of all of the things that I picked up over the course of the years of what I wanted to help my players learn. And I just figured that there's no other book out there that actually shares what I have noted in my book. So I decided
that. We're going to let you loose and to tell us what you want to tell us. We have a couple of interesting questions from our audience. Is
okay.
it true that every minute in a casino you are being videoed?
Yes. No, but not everybody. Okay. Only those that they pick up on that might be cheating, might be counting cards, and or someone who's winning a ton of money even though they're doing it correctly. They don't mind you winning. They just want to make sure it's done correctly. So those are the only times you're being videoed because they've got, I mean, the surveillance, yeah, okay, when you're winning a large sum of money or you're cheating or you're whatever, the camera then is zoomed right into the table and on you. So we got to make sure you're not capping your money, you know, counting cards and whatever. However, for somebody like you or I that went in there and wasn't cheating or whatever, and we're playing blackjack, what they do with the video cameras is they sporadically zoom around the casino. So they're not being held on each and every table. So
why is cards considered cheating?
It's not considered cheating. In fact, I find it amazing how some people can even do this with six deck cards. Even though it's not illegal to count cards, casinos have a right to ask you to leave. And they have been known to, in the casino I worked in also, come up and tap you on the back and bring you over and talk to you and tell you, I understand, we have, it's evidence that you're counting cards. And so we want to ask you to either stop counting cards or you must leave. So anyway,
it doesn't seem fair that if you've got this good stroke of luck or you can count cards and you're winning, that doesn't seem fair that they make you lose. If they're open to all the losing, then they should stop people from losing at a certain point, too. That's only logical.
They would like to, but people, I mean, they've even got an 800 number that they're more than willing to give to people if they need help in losing their money, that they would like to have them get help. But so many people, the reason they don't get the 800 help is because they don't want to be banned from the casino. At one time in the earlier days, it used to be for life. And now I think it's up to either a year or 5 years that they ban you. And that's from all casinos within that state.
So if you lose, they just take your money. But if you win, they make you stop playing. Seems very unfair.
Only if you're counting cards.
But if that's the talent, I agree with you.
That's a special talent. I mean, that, and to me, that is amazing that somebody can do that. But I mean, they can count cards like that because it is a gift that somebody has. Now we have somebody that counted cards and knew how to not only count cards but knew how to cheat to go along with it. He's barred from every casino around the United States. What he does is he teaches blackjack classes and he goes to all casinos and teaches the dealers and the owners and everybody how players cheat. So that's what he does now because he's got a photogenic memory. He's just amazing, you know, as to how he can cheat. So, I mean, like he he'll cap his bet, which is a no-no, but he'll cap his bet, and he was in one of our meetings, and he actually, I happened to be the one dealing through him, and we had all eyes on him. There was like over 75 people there, and he told us what he was going to do. That was even worse. He told us, he said, before that hand's over that you deal to me, I will have that black chip under the green chip. And I'm thinking, whoa, everybody should be able to see him do that. So I'm actually dealing to him, and when the hand was over with, I didn't see the chip under the green one, did not see him do it. Dealers were sitting at the table playing their hand also. Nope, not one person in the room saw him put his black chip under the green one, and he did. He did put it under it.
What does that mean? I'm lost. What's a black chip mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. A black chip is a $100 chip. Everybody, when you're playing at a table, you have to buy in for chips. It's a lot easier than playing with money. So he had chips in his hand. One was a green one, which was valued at $25, and the black chip, which is valued at $100. And he took the $100 chip and put it under the green chip, which is $25, before that actual hand that I dealt him was considered over. And not one person saw him touch his money in any way. That was how professional he was and how good he was at being able to cheat.
So like a magician. I think we have three questions here that we need you to answer before we go on. Somebody's asking, what is a shoe? I know what a shoe is, but I think other people might not. Would you explain it?
Okay. Sure. A shoe is what the dealer puts the cards in after the cards are shuffled. Is like a little square glass device sitting beside her, and then after they shuffle the cards, they take them and they put all six decks inside what's called a shoe, and then they will take a card and they will cut part of the deck. And the reason they do that is because the dealer cannot, during the course of all those cards, run out of cards while she's dealing. So she has to make sure that there's a plastic card that is put into the other cards inside the shoe, so that when that cut card comes out, that either if we're in the midst of the dealing of the cards, we will continue, but we want to make sure we don't run out of cards before that hand is over. So that's why we put a cut card inside the deck cards that go into a shoe.
So it's just a place to keep the cards as you're playing.
Exactly.
Okay. The other two questions kind of go together. One person is asking, did they teach you how to spot somebody who was a loser? And did they teach you how to catch thieves?
The one who needs help?
Well, I guess questions I try to answer. Did they teach you, hey, look at this guy because his hair is cut this way or he looks this way, he's probably a loser, so you could probably make a lot of money from him?
No, quite the contrary. In the beginning when the casino opened up, we, as the employees as well as the players, were all relatively new to the casino world. So when somebody had a gambling problem, we never really, it didn't stick out to us until the years went on. Then the pit bosses and everybody used to have meetings and try to decide who they thought might need the 1-800 number. How we are able to figure out who that might be is the person sitting at the table. Now, they could be very well-dressed person. It's just their mannerism. Sometimes they don't talk to anybody. They're not there. It doesn't look like they're there for recreation. So we watch that, and then sometimes they always have their head tilted down towards their money into the cards. So there's different signs that you can pick up, but the only bad part about that is that even though you can point them out, they have to come to us and share, I need help. It's an infringement on their rights, so to speak, if you come to them and say, you know, I think you need the 800 number. You know, that is not acceptable. They have to come to us.
And again,
the reason they wouldn't, again, is because they don't want to be barred for the whole year. Okay? And they have to sign a paper stating that they were in this meeting and that they have agreed that they will not come back into the casinos. And if they come back in, they get arrested for coming into the casino. So that is a lot of the reasons why a lot of people won't sign up with the 1-800.
Wow. So they try to help the people at the same time. Richard, I'm going to ask her a big question. Do you have any questions before?
Well, I do have a – when you're taught as a dealer – are you taught everything that you're talking about, or is it really when you're taught first as a dealer, you're really taught how to deal cards, how to watch the table, how to handle a shoe, how to monitor the money? You're taught sort of what I would call the mechanical part of being a dealer. This is actually a question, even though I'm stating it. And then as you mature as a dealer, you learn everything else. In other words, then once you get your skill down, then you begin to accrue this other information of subtle nuances of individual players, because you've learned what I call the mechanics of being a dealer.
Right.
Because being a dealer does seem mechanical in that sense that it's a skill. You have
very
to have a skill of really how to get the cards out, and it's very repetitious, and you have to, you know, make it, you know, look a certain amount of flourish. And do they assist you or train you in learning how to spot people, or is that something you really just kind of learn as you're in the, you know, pits doing your job?
No, they don't teach us that. That is something that we are here to ourselves, and not every dealer does that. And the same as in my book, the things that I have in my book, I picked up over the course of the 16 years. If you ask another dealer, there's a very good chance that they have no clue that took place, and or that the player did this or the player did that. Some of them are there just strictly to deal their cards, talk to the players, and their job is over. So I, myself, as I said, watching the players over and over again and saying, and we can't help them when we're at the table. We can say the book said, you know, and then everybody says, well, everybody says the book. Where is that the book? You know. Well, now that there is the book is now the casino through a dealer's eyes, and it is the honest God's truth in the book. And so, I just felt I owed it to my players, because some of them, and there's a saying that someone will say is the if somebody will say, buddy, you shouldn't have hit that card, and then the buddy who didn't know he wasn't supposed to hit the card is playing by gut feeling, will turn around and say to him, which an argument could start at that time, would come back and say to him, man, this is my money, and I'll play it the way I want to play it. And those are correct words that he can say. The only difference between the two is when you sit down at a table where there's other players, it's almost like you're signing up for a team player. And that means that all the ones sitting at the table are all together to try and beat the dealer. If they don't want to play by some certain rules that will help them to keep their money longer, or what I advise them to do is if there is a table that you can play the dealer one-on-one, that's where you should be playing. And by the way, I would play a dealer one-on-one all day or all night long, because that way you have control of your own money and you don't have to worry about someone playing incorrectly. So I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing a dealer one-on-one. So.
Can somebody sitting at your table mess up the whole table, so to speak?
Yes,
somebody who doesn't know what they're doing or plays really badly, or I don't mean manners. I'm talking about strictly, you know, working with the cards.
Okay.
So somebody can really mess up the flow of that table.
At one time when we were first brand new dealers, we believed that nobody could, and it was told that the one who really can mess up the table is third spot, which is your very last spot on the table. It's what he does that is what controls the flow of the cards. And over the course of the years, that became, no, that's not true, because if last spot doesn't have to take a card, and somebody in the middle took a card that they shouldn't have taken, and the card they took could have been my bus card, then they're just as much as responsible for taking a card as anybody else. So the flow of the cards, and that's why there's so many people who know how to play cards, will speak up and say, oh, you don't want to hit that, you don't want to hit that, you know, but then some of them will do it if they're losing just for doing it, you know, purposely doing it. So that is, that is the reason that, you know, it's so important to watch how you play the cards. And if you don't know a lot about playing the game, just say that to the table when you sit down. They have no problem giving you advice as to what card you should hit and what card you shouldn't hit or whatever, because not everybody is an experienced player. And my book is for novice people, but there are a few things in the book that, like the statistical things I did for 3 to 4 years every day for 8 hours, is for the pros also, which I know that they've never heard of before. So anyway, and that's not illegal, because what I'm saying in the book, because if they've got books out there that you can count cards and teaches you how to count cards, then the statistical thing that I've shared in my book that I have, and the reason I did that statistical thing was because, as we said before, being a dealer is so repetitious, and you can do it in your sleep, and to the point where I almost fell asleep while dealing. So it is very easy to do.
Wow.
I had to figure out, yeah, and you can actually go out and pay the money and everything almost in your sleep. So I'm not the only one. There's many dealers who have almost fallen asleep while dealing cards. So anyway, I had decided there's got to be something I can do while dealing cards that can keep me awake. So I decided, what if, you know, for the first 3 hands out of the shoe, if this happened or this happened or somebody came in while those 3 hands being dealt, how much effect does that have on the hands being played? And so over the course of the time, I would tell some of the players, now, whatever you do, don't tell them that Connie told you to do this, but just go to another table and watch it and or whatever, and then come back and let me know how it works. And so they come back and they say, yeah, that really does work. Thank you for sharing that. So, you know, and there was a time where that had gotten spread around, and I was dealing at another table one day, and this man comes sits down at the table, and he said verbatim exactly how it works that I've got in the book, and the book wasn't even out yet, and he didn't know it was me who said it, and so he's telling everybody at the table, hey, you got to watch this, okay, because somebody who I shared it with in the beginning to make sure, you know, that this over 90% of the time does work, he was so excited about it, and he was telling it to everybody. And I said, yeah, I think, I didn't tell him it was me. I said, yeah, I think you're right. And see, that's the reason why I couldn't get the book published until after I left, because of the conflict of interest. And in the book. So anything I put in the book, though, is nothing against the casino, because I know one time I was interviewed and somebody had a question from the audience and they said that the casinos do cheat. And I said, no, you know, the casino has no reason to cheat. Mainly because, I'll tell you why, the casino themselves wouldn't be the one cheating anyway. It would be the dealers who have to be the one to cheat. And the dealers would never want to cheat because they make minimum wage, and that's like under $7 an hour. Their money they make is from the generosity of the players. So they make their money like a cocktail waitress does. So the dealer is the best friend to a player, because they're cheering you on just like anybody else would be, because the more you win, hopefully through the generosity of that player, you'll remember the dealer and you'll tip the dealer. And the dealers all split that money for the day, and that's how they make their money. So there would be no reason. And another reason that the casinos wouldn't cheat is because they already know that so many people could win tons of money, but they're just going to play it all back. For instance, we had one time in High Limits where a person bought in for $60,000. They end up turning that money in a couple of days into over $350,000, and they played it all back. So the casinos don't have to worry about, oh, we got to cheat in order so they don't walk away a winner. because they know 90% of them are going to play it back. Even in the slots, they know that even if they win big, they're going to play it back before the day's over. So that's why they don't cheat, and they have to have the employees to cheat in order to for them to be considered cheaters as far as casinos go. So it wouldn't benefit them to cheat. They don't want people to come in there that are using their rent money because they know that that's an addiction for them. They get enough players in there that are playing for entertainment purposes. Every day they get more new players coming in. So, you know, there are so many casinos out there in this world today that they don't want to be known as someone who might be cheating, because it's competition out there for them, for all of the players and customers and clientele to come into their casino. So they want to have a good reputation, which is told in my book too. So
that is an eye opener that you guys made minimum wage. Good Lord.
Oh, uh-huh.
Here's the big question, and we have about 20 minutes left.
Okay.
What would people find? Well, I should preface this by saying our people probably are not going to be in a casino for any big reason. This is a health show, and we did this because we thought it would be fun, and you've brought up some health issues about people being addicted to gambling. But what would people find? Describe... I don't think I've been in one except to walk across a hotel lobby. describe every game, well, describe what they would find and how they could look at it, be hurt by it, beat it, and you've got, what, 20, 25 minutes. Can you do it in that little bit of time?
As to, what was the question again? As to
what would people see? What would people be tempted uh-huh. by when they walked into a casino?
Oh, okay.
And how could they play?
Okay. Mainly for the beginners, those who've only come like once or twice a year or once a month or whatever, there is so much to see in a casino. And I share that in my book as to if you've got $100 to $200, and to the average person that's a lot of money, and you don't know what to spend it on, don't let the enticement of the excitement of the crowd and the noises and people hollering and everything entice you to sit down right that very moment and say, oh, gee, I think I'll do this, okay? Because 99% of the time, after you've run out of your money, you're going to walk around a little bit and say, oh, I wish I saved my money and I did this, okay? It happens over and over again. So... I always tell people to make sure that they know what it is they want to do before they actually go into the casino. The second thing is that, unfortunately, a lot of the casinos, they're starting to, maybe as of this year, making people smoke outside instead of in the casino. But there still are casinos out there that allow smokers to come in and smoke at the table or whatever. So that is a health issue that is a concern for a lot of people. Now what they're doing at some of the newer casinos is they've got a place for people who smoke for them to go to another area, which is like sort of outside, but it's enclosed in, but it allows them to go away from the actual casino so they don't smoke. But we went through that a lot, and as dealers who don't smoke, you know, end up getting a secondhand cough for myself. So anyway, you were talking about health issues. That's a definite health issue. And as far as spending their money, that's another thing I was going to share is that if you had $100 to $200 that you were bringing down to the casino and you spent your money so soon, there's two things you can do. One, go back home, but people won't do that because if it took them 2 hours to get there, they're not going to turn around and drive 2 hours back if they just lost their money within the first 15 minutes. So unfortunately, they're going to use the ATM machines and pull out more money. And at one time, many years ago, they didn't have ATM machines in there. You had to go to the cashier and write a check and or use your debit card or your credit card or whatever. And the bad part about the credit cards is that the interest rate you get on the money that you bring out as cash is astronomical. You know, so they not only do you have a problem and you shouldn't be getting money in the first place, now if you use a credit card, you're paying like 29% on cash that you're borrowing from that card if you have other merchandise on that card, because the cash is the last thing that is paid off of your card. It gets 29% tacked to that cash over and over and over again, whether it takes you 2 to 3 years to pay off that credit card or whatever. Until you get the merchandise on the card paid off, the cash interest rate keeps getting tacked too. And if you even borrow $50, you still got 29% on that $50 being tacked on every month for, I could go a year, 2 years. That's a hefty sum of money that you're paying off on that $50 that you can't pay off in the beginning. So that's another reason, you know, for them to be careful going in with their money. They don't want to have to go to an ATM machine. It's best to leave your checkbook, your ATM stuff at home that you know you can't get any more money. Then there's another thing they do is they actually borrow from people that they met at the casino if that person's winning. And then the person winning doesn't want to feel like they're stingy, so they'll let them have it, but then try to get the money back from somebody who doesn't financially can't afford to give that money back, then that becomes a bad karma. So those are some of the things for the health issues that we notice. And then there's a lot of people that come in that either had been drinking before they got into the casino or they started drinking. Now, they will cut you off. Now that it's in the 2000s here, they cut you off now, and if they feel like you're over the limit, they will give you, if you want to stay in the casino, they will give you what's called an orange wristband so that the waitresses know you can't have any more alcohol. And even if somebody else tries to buy it for you, if you're consuming alcohol with a wristband on, then you can be asked to leave, you know. So those are a lot of the health issues.
What are the games that are easiest to play and are right in your face? And you were saying,
well, we have a lot of them that, and also the book. By the way, when people read the book, it's a very easy read, and I've even was complimented by the editor who was editing my book, telling me that when you read my book, it's very easy read, and it's like I'm talking to the individual myself. So he felt that he was able to pick up on a lot of the skills that you need easier. He said he'd only been down there twice and tried to play blackjack, and he said he felt that he was hurting the other people at the table, so he didn't go back to blackjack. So now he said after I taught him how to play blackjack from the book, he feels he can now go down and sit at the table and play professionally. So I thought that was very nice. But other than blackjack, we have the games that I have been teaching you how to play is Spanish 21 or 21 plus 3, three-card poker, Boston 5, Let It Ride, Caribbean Stud, four-card poker, Texas Hold'em Bonus, and Ultimate Texas and Mississippi Stud. Those are what's called in the casino is carnival games, because once you learn how to play it, you're not hurting anybody else if you sit down at the table. You are, you know, it doesn't matter. They could be winning and winning and winning, and you sitting down and getting your five cards or however many cards is not going to hurt that person. So anyway, that is why also a lot of people like to play those particular kind of games, because they know you don't have to have a lot of skill to play those games. Blackjack, it does take a little bit of skill, but again, as I said, just like that one question was asked, what is a shoe? In my book, I explain the game of blackjack as to the money rack, as to and I've got is the money tip rack, you know, or something like that. I forget what I actually explained it as in the book. But what I did is that I had somebody read over my book who knew nothing about casinos and asked them that when I was talking about the casino and how to play the different games, is there anything in there you did not understand? And that person wrote back and would say, I have no idea what this is, or what does double down mean, or, you know, splitting cards, what does that mean? Okay, so I have gone through as like a kindergartner reading the book so that everybody can know exactly what I'm talking about, and there's no hesitation as to say, gee, I don't understand that at all, because you can understand it. It's that simple. And the book has only got 64 pages in it. And I also asked them to please do me a favor and try to keep the cost down, because I wrote this book because of my players, and I didn't want to have the book cost an arm and a leg that they couldn't afford to buy the book to get the knowledge that I have put in the book for everybody. So they got it for $7.99, and I think $7.99 seems to be pretty cheap. And also it's a paperback, so it's easy to hold, and you can actually hold it at the table, but you just can't lay it on the table. So if you, you know, have the book and it's like one of the carnival games you're wanting to learn, and even though you were reading it on the way down, just stand behind them and watch them play a hand or two and follow it by the book, and then you'll understand, and then you can sit down and play the hand, and you will know exactly, that's exactly what you're doing. It's not like sitting down blind and have no clue. So it, you know, as I say, it's a book. What, if you don't mind, I would like to take a second to share with them as to the reason I wrote the book. And
that would be awesome, because on Amazon, every person who wrote a review gave you 5 stars. So, yes.
Oh,
go ahead.
Very nice. I hardly ever get onto Amazon. Okay, thank you very much. There's two questions that most everybody, and even in your audience, is asking. And one is, why is it there are so many casino books out there in this world today? Why do you think, since there's so many, that your book is going to be any better? The second question is that, well, okay, so you got this book, so what's in it for me? What I did was I thought long and hard about those two questions, and I did write down five answers to those questions. And one is the reason I wrote the book for all of you is I would like to help increase your knowledge of a casino. I'd like to help you make your money last longer. I'd like to help you see the casino in a different light and understand why you feel you never win. I'd like for you to expand insight on games you thought you were playing correctly to then share the correct way of playing. And last, I'd like to help you benefit from tips you maybe never have heard of. And hopefully this will help your visit become more enjoyable. So those are the 5 reasons that I wanted to write the book, because as a dealer, I loved dealing. I loved my players. Every day was a new day, because you never know who somebody new is coming in and sitting down at your table, and you get an opportunity to meet that brand new person and make friends with that new person. And then to watch these people not know a lot of the things that they're doing wrong, and I can't help them at the table, I have now been able to help them through my book, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. I have a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
I've read your book. I still don't understand it, because I don't even know what some of these games are. Why don't
Right.
Because you have a very solid and a very sincere voice, practically
uh-huh.
without ego, we've been looking at your voice as we go along, you could start a tutoring or a, what would it be called? You could teach people in groups how to play cards, and then they wouldn't be so fearful. They would have trusted you. The casinos would
uh-huh.
have more business. Have you ever
uh-huh.
thought about setting up a business and helping people learn what these games are? And tonight we're going to do this, and you're going to learn this. I think that would be incredible.
Right. That is a very good idea. However, people with their busy schedules out there in this world today are not going to be able to all make that. And so for them, the book – and again, for the book, when you read the book, say, for the blackjack part, So it takes you maybe another time or two to go through it. And even if you had somebody at home dealing to you, that you can go step by step in the book as to what you were supposed to do, it should pick up. As I said, I mean, the different ones that I have had reports back from who have hardly ever go to the casino said that they felt that they would have no problem picking up the game when they're there at the casino. So, you know, that idea is not a bad idea, and I will take that into consideration. As I said, I'm all about my players, and I'm, you know, referring to the whole United States when I say that, so it's not just where I came from. There's people out there all over the world who are novice people who love the fact of going down for an entertainment night, but nobody wants to lose their money. So there is a little bit of luck. Yes, there is. But then again, I also share with the players that if you're at a table and you're not winning, or you were winning and you started losing, there's so many tables there. Just go to another table and see if your luck comes back at another table. So, you know, again, the dealer wants to be your friend.
You could do this online. I bet you would have, I bet you could make a mint just practicing mm-hmm. with people online.
Okay, I will investigate that.
You are so sincere in what you're saying and how you want to help people.
Exactly.
I just think it's incredible. We have a couple of audience questions.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest win you ever witnessed?
Okay.
That's one.
Okay. I can answer it if you want me to right now.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The one that I have actually myself witnessed was the one for the guy who bought in for the $60,000 and turned it into, in 2 days' time, over $350,000. And then the other one I witnessed was the girl who bought in for $200,000, who turned hers into $100,000. Unfortunately, both of them played all of their money back. You know, within the girl who got hers up to $100,000 turned hers back in a day's time, and the guy who turned his into $350,000, he played his back in a couple of days because he was staying at the hotel, so he ended up playing all that money back.
We love it that you are so incredibly straight with people. Here's another question from our audience.
Mm-hmm.
I know why this is coming. Do you ever go to parties for, like, a casino night? Do you hire yourself out?
For being a dealer for them? Is that the question
you're
asking? Or?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
One of the ways that we entertain our people.
Yeah. I never really thought of it that way. But, again, I would not have any problem with doing that. But and then again, I guess it wouldn't be a bad thing to do because now I could tell them how to play while they're at the game. So, especially then, don't they get free money or something at these kind of casino parties or whatever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That way I could teach them. Because at the festivals and that, you know, it's really fun when you go to a festival and you watch people play the game and, oh, my God, it's like, did you really do that? You know, and as a professional blackjack dealer, and you have to let go. I mean, you can't take it so serious at a festival game. It is what it is. You know, so people will split tens, which you never do, and don't split your fives because you're never supposed to split your fives. And you know, there's certain things like in the book where I share that, you know, people don't understand that when they have a two or a three, and I have a ten up, they're supposed to hit their cards. When a dealer has a 7 through a 10 up, the idea at that time when you have a low card, you're trying to get to 21 because the dealer might not have to take a card, and if they flip it over, they can have anything from a 7 to a 10. So when you have a low card like a 6 showing or a 16 showing, you want to hit your card in order to hopefully get up to 21 or anything close to that. A lot of people will wave that off, and I've asked them already, well, why would you do that when there's a chance that the dealer could have a 20? Well, I know that I need a 5 or under to beat you, so I'm willing to take my chances that you have to take a card. Now, that's one of the ways to help. I'm trying to teach us how to keep your money longer, because there's two ways on this scenario. Is if the dealer has a 10 showing or a 7 showing or whatever, that means the dealer does not have to take a card. You've got a 16 with my 7 showing or my 10 showing. Guess what? Your 16 is not going to beat my 17 or my 20. So if you know you're going to lose anyway, majority of the time, 90% of the time, then why wouldn't you take the card? And even if it busts you, at least you fought for your money. If you have a 6 up and the dealer has a 6 or a 5 or something up, no, you do not try to get 21 at that time. You are now wanting to ride it on, pass it off, and hope that the dealer will go over. So those are the two things you need to remember. A lot of people don't remember that, and they'll hit when I've got a low card up, and they will wave it off when I have a card that they're supposed to hit on, you know, so... Those are some of the strategies for the players.
This has been very enlightening and fun.
It was very enjoyable.
Let's tell people where they can get your book. Most anywhere. Can I get it from you?
Yes, you can go to my website, and my website is the same as the title of my book, The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes. However, it's got .tate, T-A-T-E, author.com. So just remember the book. And also, if you forget the rest of the title to my website, you can Google The Casino Through a Dealer's Eyes, and it comes up on the search engines, and then just click on that, and it'll take you to either Tate Publishing's website or another website where you can purchase it.
Or if they want to learn more, or if they want to have you for a party, now that we've talked into it, they can send you an email. I think that is great. It has been absolutely delightful to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. I had a great time, and I wrote the book for my players. I just felt that there's not another book that I know that is out there that is any more sincere than my book is for my players. So I even told my players at one time I was going to write a book. I said, I'm writing a book when I leave here. I'm writing a book so that I can help you guys understand the casino, you know. And so I kept my word. I did.
Well, you can tell your publisher that we here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology tested your voice, and you are an incredibly sincere person who wants nothing more than to help your public. What you're saying is the absolute truth, and we'll vouch for you.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.
Richard, do you have any closing thoughts?
It was really fun. I'm not a gambler just because I'm not, but you make it seem approachable, which is amazing to me because I'm old. It amazes me that, you know, I had a brother who lived in Reno for 20 years, and I would go to the casinos and just sort of watch in amazement as I watched people do this. And you make it seem like an approachable kind of entertainment, and the tricky part seems
and
to be...
And keep it as entertainment. That's the trick.
Yeah.
The trick is keep it as entertainment. You know, you don't want to take it as a job. Right.
Oof. No. Thank you. Well put, definitely not.
Right. Everybody works hard for their money. So if they go into the casino with the enlightenment of, oh, this is going to be fun, and we're here for just the same as if you're going out to dinner or whatever, you know, the money you're going to be spending for that, you'll spend it there. And if you lost it, and by having a few of the tips in my book and helps you to keep the money and have it last a little bit longer, that would be great. But at least you kept it as entertainment, and you're not running back to the ATM machine.
Well, it makes a visit to the casino not so intimidating.
Exactly. So, as again, as I said, I loved my job as a blackjack dealer faithfully every day for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 16 years. Never regretted one day of it. Loved all my people I met. Look forward to some of them coming back in again, and they'd sit at my table, and I can converse with them all over again when I saw them again. Yes, that was the job for me. I love people, and I felt, again, I owed it to them to write this book for them and keep the price down low enough. Oh, and by the way, we do have e-books also, and they can find it on my website.
We're looking at your website now. We're looking about the author. Well, we hope you do some tutoring classes, and we hope lots of people hire you to be their casino night entertainment. We loved having you on. We'd like to remind people that we're having happy hour this coming Tuesday. I don't have the slightest idea what the topic is, but it's always fun, where we look at people's vocal print and share information about them. Wednesday, we're doing Revolution Radio. We haven't decided yet whether we're going to do Obama then and now, because there's been such drastic changes in his voice, or we're going to do all about Benghazi. And a third one we've been asked to do is about WikiLeaks, Julian Assange and Bradley Manning, and a look at how that has and will more change our view of our government. So a lot of things to pick from. We absolutely love the idea that you sent us information and ideas about this. Appreciate you being here, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks again, Connie. Thanks, everybody. Have an excellent
Thank you, Richard
weekend.
And Sherry. Bye.
Bye-bye.